On Sunday last week, and it seems like a very long time ago, because we haven't met since then, and a lot of things happened with the storm and everything. So let's just go over the beginning of chapter 4. We went through the first 7 verses, and some of the things that are important to remember, right? Stewards of God's message need to do what? They need to make sure that they're doing what? They're managing it, that they're entrusted to keep it, and they don't alter it. And then God's message is to be given and handled with care and made sure that message isn't all adulterated, isn't changed. And the person delivering the message has to be what? Faithful to the word, making sure that he studies well or she studies well. If you're doing the kids' classes, that you are a true test of your faithfulness because of all the things you prepare to do. Remember, Paul spoke in Acts about his clear conscience before he was shown the way. He was persecuting all the Christians and thinking he was doing what God had intended him to do. It only took him walking on the road to Damascus to be blinded by this light for 3 days to have a little course direction. Hopefully we don't have to be blinded for 3 days to have that course direction, but then he changed his path, right? And once he changed that, he then took the true knowledge through the Holy Spirit that was revealed to him, and that he then presented it to those along the way and seated paths on his journeys as his missionary journeys went. And then in verses 6 and 7, it said, Paul and Apollos were not divided, that they were doing the same work and they had unity. Because, again, they were talking about the dissension within the Corinthian church. The Gospels and Scriptures are enough to make sure we mature, that we grow, and that we become the Christians and people that we're supposed to. If we cause divisions, if there's divisions among us, right, and there were divisions among the Corinthians, and that caused them to be puffed up, to be arrogant, and against each other. So what did that do to their growth? Well, that stunted their growth. It wasn't going to allow them to continue to be in God's grace and then need to be humble and satisfied for all the things that they had had. Now, as we move on, Paul also critiques them because what do we know about the city of Corinth? It was a very wealthy city. They had a lot of physical wealth, and so they thought that they were rich. And so let's turn to verse 8 in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Now, imagine how Paul wrote this, but how it may have been delivered. You are already full. Your bellies are satisfied. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. Who is he talking about? Us? He was just talking about Paul, Apollos and himself who were teaching. And indeed, I could wish you did reign that we may also reign with you. How did he intend that to come across? Now, we only have his words. Was he praising them for this? Was he praising them for they had this wealth? Because they felt, we have all this wealth. See, we have God's blessings. But there was divisions among you and other problems that we're going to get to. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and them. So can we remember another part of the scriptures where it was written, and it was probably John on the island of Patmos in Revelation 3:17, where he kind of condemned the church at Laodicea, and he says, because I say to you, Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. But then what was the rebuke? Poor, miserable, blind, wretched, naked. Well, we have all this physical wealth. Is that happens today? Do we have a lot of physical wealth in the United States? Do we have a lot of blessings that we kind of take for granted? You know, when you lose electricity, we take it for granted, don't we? Yes. When we lose the ability to have a hot shower, air conditioning. We've been pretty blessed this week, though. The air conditioning hadn't been as bad because, you know, it's not 98 degrees in the daytime. But, yes, if you don't have air conditioning in Florida, you kind of... that needs to be fixed right away, yes. And so that was Paul's rebuke to them. You're already full and you're already rich and you reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I wish you did reign that we may also reign with you. That same rebuke happens for their arrogance because they thought they needed nothing. And if they didn't need anything, what did they not need? They didn't need the scripture. They didn't need Paul. They didn't need that message. They didn't need God's grace. They didn't need the cleansing blood of Christ. They thought they had everything they needed. And in verse 9, we talk about that, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death." Because did all the apostles live a long and happy, healthy life? No. And we'll look at Paul's, talking about, the things that he had to suffer in a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. You have that, Steph?
2 Corinthians
12, 7 through 10. Yes, 2 Corinthians.
"Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong."
And then let's turn to Philippians 4. 11 through 13. Jake, you got that?
Yes.
Philippians 4, 11 through 13.
"Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
And Paul's bringing out these points that, you know, hey, we are apostles, we're condemned, we're going to be made a spectacle, because what was going to happen in Rome with a lot of the Christians? What are they going to be used as?
Lion food.
Lion food, right. They're going to be placed in front of gladiators and lions. They're going to be torn apart. They're going to be persecuted. You know, we know Peter's death. He said he didn't want to be hung on the cross, so hang me upside down. We know that Paul faced his death, and early on we see, you know, that James was also killed by the Roman government, and all the apostles were going to face persecution and be used as a what? Every single trial that Peter went through, that Paul went through, there was just not one or two people there, right? There was big crowds. We think about the theater at Ephesus, how they just kept yelling, you know, we are the home to Diana, and that everywhere he went, he was made a fool or made mockery of. In verse 10, in chapter 4, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored." And remember earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, let's read some of those passages again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. "For the message," the word, "of the cross is" what? "Foolishness to those who are..." "But to us who are being saved, it is. And so people who are drowning in their own sin, they don't see that that's a life preserver. But those who have been saved realize that this is the power of God. Now turn to chapter 2, verse 3. I was with you in weakness. Who was I? Paul. In fear and in much trembling. Then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. Larry, you got that? No. I asked Larry, not Joe. Larry.
For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. In this also we wish even your perfection.
And then let's stay in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn to chapter 11, 22 through 30. Because Paul now tells him about what he has to endure and what he endured. In fact, he left some things out, but here's his laundry list. All right, 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 30, talking about them being fools, them being persecuted, them being condemned to death. And he says, Paul writes, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches? Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, weakness. So here's a laundry list of what Paul had to go through by the time he's got to some of these journeys, and this journey that he went to the Corinthians and had to endure, and then his trips that he's going to go to Rome. And it didn't say anything about him being snake bit either, because we know that happened too. So stoned and left for dead, left outside the city, persecuted, treated wrongly, treated as his, what he was teaching was nonsense and foolishness. In verse 11, back in chapter 4, to present our we both are hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat, exhort, encourage, we are made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Now, that's not a word we use too often, offscoring. And, you know, I had to look that up. What do they mean by offscoring? That's the stuff like, okay, if you have a skillet and it, you know, you get that grease on it and you can't kind of scrape it off, that's the offscoring. You were treated as rubbish, as things that he didn't need. You know, he went through all these things. He went through all these persecutions. He tells you that laundry list of what he had been through. And of course, Christ told us when we have enemies, what are we supposed to do to our enemies? We're supposed to love our enemies. You know, we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 34, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. And then in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's easy to do, right? As a person? Yeah, that's hard for us to do. Christ gave us that example, right? He gave us that example that we're supposed to work through these things. And so we see in verses 8 through 13, the persecutions of Paul. We see that he's still trying to bring them together and trying to do away with this division, because they were wealthy. So they thought, well, we have physical wealth, we should have spiritual wealth. And we see that he compared, you know, Heden himself, but the scriptures do say the comparison of Laodiceans for what they had. Paul contrasts himself and the apostles. What were they? They were dead men, right? They were dead men. You know, I'm sure you've seen that movie, The Green Mile, Dead Man Walking. Dead Man Walking, yes. We were put up and held in front of the courts of the Jews, held in front of the courts of the Romans. We're going to be a spectacle there for the Roman Colosseums until they're finally put to death. But we have a different pattern to follow, right? The Christian has a pattern to follow when treated cruelly by the world, right? We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to exhort. We're supposed to treat them, even though we have been made to treat or been persecuted unfairly. How did the Corinthians think of themselves? They felt pretty good, right? They felt great about themselves. Look all the things we have. We must be blessed. We think about that in America, right? We must be blessed. Look, we're the blessed country, you know? God's looking out after us. Well, only if you're doing the things that God has said. And we see this laundry list that Paul had given about his sufferings. We also see that in other passages that we haven't read. But what is the worldview, Christ and Christians? Are we smart? Are we educated? If you listen to, you know, the news, they think that those things are just foolishness, right? You're uneducated. You're just blindly following this book that's just a bunch of stories or fables, and how can you actually have any knowledge at all? You're not thinking on your own. You're just blindly following this, right? There's 66 books by so many different authors, and it doesn't contradict itself, written over such a long period of time. But they don't think that's the power of God. And how do we then make that application to ourselves? What do we have to do? What are we supposed to do? Treat it as what? If this is the Word of God, this is the Word of God. Treat it as such, right? All right, moving on to chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Chuck, can you read 14 through 17, 1 Corinthians?
I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have as many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church.
And in that first verse 14, it says, but as my beloved children, I warn you. So Paul also had that acknowledgement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. As you know, we exhorted and comforted and changed every one of you as a father does his own, charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So what did Paul think of them? He thought, okay, right, I'm nurturing you. You know, what did Jesus say when they talked to Israel? Israel, if you would just come, I would put my wings out and comfort you and protect you. John also had a lot of things. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and then 3 John chapter verse 4. So 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1. Angel, can you read that for me? And then 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4. Steve, you got that?
Working on it.
Okay. 3 John verse 4.
I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth.
And as a parent, is that really evident? As you had children, even if your children get old and they're adults, you still revel in their walk as faithful Christians. And Paul's urging them, each time he writes letters, each time he's nurtured their group together, he calls them, you're my beloved children. And I want to warn you because I want to make sure I'm nurturing you and guiding you along. And in verse 15, it says, hey, I've begotten you through the gospel. Begotten you through the gospel. Remember, Paul was in Athens before he came to Corinth. In Acts 18, 1 and 11, it says, you know, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And then said in verse 11, it says, and he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So he spent a little bit of time there. It wasn't like he just, hey, I held a gospel meeting. I've been there a week. You know, we're good. He had been there working with them for a year and a half. Paul also writes, and let's turn to Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. Ken, you got that for me? Galatians 4:19. And then Romans 10, 14 through 17, right? We've read this many times before, you know. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So when faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And in verse 16 it says, imitate me, right? Imitate me. Okay, we're supposed to imitate Paul. Who is Paul imitating? Christ. We know that because in 1 Corinthians 11:1 it says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who also walk, as you have us for a pattern. So Paul was a pattern. He was imitating Christ. He had that pattern. In the same book, Philippians 4:9, Paul also writes, the things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace be with you. Also in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Paul writes, and you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere Paul went, he was questioned on his apostleship. Everywhere he went and established churches, they tried to tear that down. Everywhere he went, he was concerned that when he wasn't with them, they were going to fall away. And so, who does he usually follow? Paul. Who usually comes to help build him up and make sure, and then also bring back a report to Paul how things are doing? Timothy. And did he have any fondness for Timothy? He says, yeah. Yeah, he's my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And what is he going to do? Remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And that's great, reinforcing the things that he had done. Paul has some harsh languages for him, right? Come to repentance. Stay. Don't go back to sin. Because he's trying to do what? He's trying to gently nurture, bring them up in the truth. Just as a parent, right? How do we correct our children? Don't ever do that again. We try and be correct gently, right? The stove is hot. Don't touch it. The iron is hot. Don't touch it. What do? It's hot. It's going to burn you. Sin is bad. Don't touch it. Don't do that. All right, you touched it. Okay, now I'm going to take something and put some ice on it and heal it and a wound dressing, right? Just as Paul had a mindset. But he wasn't just interested in the church in Corinth, right? Every single church he established, every single Christian he had touched, he was concerned. Because he began the work. He started this. God's going to give the increase, but it's also incumbent on us too, even as followers, that we're also doing our part. Paul continued that theme throughout all his letters. Imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. As he sends Timothy, he knows that Timothy will help build him up in the same way. You know, just as, you know, we have teachers that teach together or team teach. You know, Larry teaches, I teach, Daryl's been teaching, Mike Sadler teaches in the auditorium class and the high school class, Clay teaches the high school class. We now have others. David Snyder's teaching the high school class and others teaching the kids' classes. Remember, we're all trying to bring the same message in our own way, in our own direction. But Timothy has followed Paul through most of the missionary journey, sometimes together, sometimes apart. When Paul says, I have begotten you through the Gospels, through the Gospel, you know he wrote that 15 different times in his letters? And why does he bring that to their attention? Why is that important? I have begotten you. I started you on your path. That's kind of, you know, we think back to the movie, silly, you know, the Wizard of Oz, the Yellow Brick Road. It started with a little point and a little spiral and kept leading up. Well, that's how it started, that small point, that ripple in time. I started you on your path, right? We started this on the path. Who started us on our path? How many years ago have we been, you know, starting our path as Christians? And we continue that journey by picking that up and walking today. Can we imitate Paul today? Should we imitate Paul today? Is he a pattern that we should follow? And then by extension, if he imitated Christ, then we also should imitate Christ. All right, finishing up the chapter, verses 18 through 21. Ken Jordan, can you read that 18 through 21, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians?
Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly. If the Lord wills, then I will not, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in, but the power of kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod of in love, with a rod of in love, and a spirit of gentleness?
All right, Paul's starting to again close this verses down. You know, remember this is a full letter. We keep continuing the theme, but this theme was based on the divisions, right? And he had talked to him before, why were you puffed up? Because, you know, some of you were following Paul, some of you were following Apollos. You had divisions and you were puffed up. And you're like, I'm better than you because I follow this guy or I follow that guy. You know, it seems that we need to make sure that we are informed. But it also says in the last part of that verse of 18, you act like I'm not coming back. Like, I'm gone. I've been here a year and a half, and I'm gone on my journey. He ain't coming back. He ain't watching me, you know. Remember when we were kids, you know, mom and dad aren't watching. They didn't see that, did they? Yeah. Moms see everything, don't they? Moms see everything. Yes. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 9 through 11. And he kind of emphasizes, you know, their thoughts about this. Again, that letter is also to the Corinthians, his second letter. So Paul writes chapter 10, 9 through 11. Tabitha, can you read that? 2 Corinthians 10, 9 through 11. So they were saying, hey, your letters are strong and powerful and weighty. There's a lot of heady stuff there. But when you come, you have this infirmity. You're kind of not that strong. You're weak. Well, remember, he said, yeah, I have an infirmity. I have this thorn in the flesh, but that my weakness makes me strong in the power. And then let each person consider that just because I have these strong words, when I'm absent from the letters, when I come in my presence, I'm also coming in presence with the power of God. And in verse 19, it says, if the Lord wills, remember we've talked about it, I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. He had things that he was doing, but his direction was also guided by the Spirit. He was told to go to different places and different areas. And he says, if the Lord wills. And we know that James talked about that, right? When you have businesses and you go here and there, say, hey, I'm going to plan to go there, I'm going to plan to go there. But it says in James 4:15, and said, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. Just as we say, if the Lord wills, we'll see each other tonight. If the Lord wills, we'll see each other Wednesday night. If we're on a journey, if the Lord wills, we shall return to you, because we know that life is fragile. We've seen that time and again. And things like storms can easily take it away. And in verse 20, he says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Right? God gave them, the apostles, these powers, these strengths, these things to show and confirm that his word was being delivered to them. Paul also writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just verse 5. James, you got that for me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. All right. Verse 5.
For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, as you know, for that are obeyed among you for your sake.
And then Paul writes in also 1 Corinthians, just a couple chapters before that, in chapter 2, verse 4, when Larry was teaching on this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what?
Demonstration
of the Spirit and power. God was confirming that I was able to do these things. God was confirming all these things. Should we ring the first bell? Just checking. I was looking at that clock. Maybe that clock was fast. And in verse 21, it starts to give him questions. What do you want? What do you want of me? Because when I return, how am I going to receive you? How am I going to be in front of you? How am I going to do the things that I need to do? How am I going to correct you? He said he's going to come two ways, right? Shall I come to you with a rod or come to you in love with spirit of gentleness? Obviously, we know what Paul would like to do. He would like to come to the spirit of gentleness. But what is he trying to combat? He's trying to combat their divisions. And this division can keep spreading and spreading and spreading. And I'm going to have to rebuke you. I'm going to have to correct you. I'm going to have to berate you. But I wish you would correct it on your own so then we can come in the spirit of gentleness. He also talks about that later to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2. Bucky, you got that? I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. Remember, they're still holding a lot of things, a lot of errors, a lot of things that they were holding, and he needed to correct that. So, conclusion of chapter 4. We're supposed to be servants and have the responsibility that God has given us to make sure we hold tight, that we're not puffed up, that we're not arrogant. And we hope that we all come together in love and the spirit of gentleness. Well, I thank your kind attention. Hopefully these handouts were helpful in your study. And if we didn't get to all the questions, that you had a chance to go over them yourself. Next week, chapter 5. And I believe it's Daryl. Is that right, Larry? Daryl. Okay. Chapter 5.
I'm next.
Oh, you're doing 5. Okay. Sorry. Larry's doing chapter 5. Thank you.